Thinking strategically in your business. As soon as you start a business, you'll be told you need a vision, a mission, and a strategy. But what are they, and exactly how do you develop them? I'm Julie Stanford, and a while ago, I presented a radio show for Radio Reverb in Brighton. What my guests talked about then is still relevant today. My guests on this show are Phil Green, Joseph Clayton, and Al Tredinnick, and we talk about thinking strategically. So today we're here to talk about thinking strategically in a business and the importance of strategy in a business. And it seems to me that before we do that, we have to actually define what it means. And so I'm going to put Phil on the spot first. I should imagine that the three of you might have different opinions about this. I'm hoping you have, otherwise it's going to be a bit of a boring show. But Phil, to you first, it's crucial in a business, but I think we would agree. But can you tell us exactly what it is and why it's crucial?
Okay, I think it is crucial, absolutely. And too many small business MDs lose track of the strategy. They spend their time digging around in the business. But I think it sits probably under the vision, which is probably a whole radio show on its own as well. The vision is something that you want to achieve, how you're going to achieve it. The strategy is how you're going to actually get there. And probably the difference is that the strategy will inform what you're doing for the next, say, 5 years. An operational matter is what you're doing in the next 5 minutes. And that's probably the difference between strategy and operations, as far as I think. And the other most important thing about strategy is it allows you to make a decision. So if you think of something, employing somebody new, taking on some new premises, buying a computer system, whatever it might be, does this fulfill part of my strategy or not? If it doesn't, then why am I doing it? And that's probably, it's a touchstone.
Okay, so Phil, can you give me an example of that?
I suppose, well, one example is this show. You know, I've come and spent a couple of hours with you. Lovely though that is, obviously, Julie. But for my business, if this show was only going out in the Isle of Dogs, it wouldn't be a very good strategic fit for me, because the MD Hub is based in Brighton and Hove, and it surrounds, and we're pushing out into the surroundings of Sussex. So a show that went out the Isle of Dogs, not a good strategic move. It wouldn't be part of my business strategy to come along. This show, great.
Yeah, people so are hearing about it. I see that point then, that it's a constant... It's a referral point. It's a way of just saying, are we going in the right direction?
Yeah, we've got so... Most MDs have so little time. They have to do something which allows them to make a decision, and strategy is one of those things. And if you can literally look down a piece of paper and say, does it fit, yes or no, then you can helps you make the decision.
It's interesting, actually, because as you said that, it reminds me of that. I think one of the problems for business owners is getting unnerved if you encourage them to be focused, because we want to be all things to all people, and we're worried that while we're focusing on point A, point B might be the better place for us. And as you said that then, I realised that that would be the resistance in me, is that, you know, I want to do all of it. Because of the kind of personality I have, and so to be gently encouraged to be specific is hard.
And it stops prevarication as well, because we're terrible at going around in circles saying, oh, should we, shouldn't we, should we, shouldn't we?
Okay, so in some ways then what you're saying could be any strategy is a good strategy. It's at least a strategy, and but it can be adjusted.
It can be adjusted, and obviously always will be. So you lay down a five-year strategy, you'll change it within 5 weeks probably. But as the process of writing it down first of all, and then referring to it and using it, you refine it as you go along.
Al, can I just come to you now and hear what your definition of strategy is?
I think strategy is, it's a kind of roadmap to whatever your goal is. I mean, goal setting is probably a whole other subject we could talk about, but it allows you, if you've got a strategy for your business of where you want it to get to in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, whatever it is, it allows you to then break that plan down into chunks and to set yourself benchmarks. I think having a good strategy is a brilliant way of keeping score, so you can see whether you're winning or not. You know, if you don't have a strategy, you don't know, you know, as we've just said, you don't know whether the work you're doing now is taking you towards your goal or not. You know, you can have a strategy in all areas of a business, but it's really good to put benchmarks in so you can see whether you're hitting them or not, whether you're, you know, ahead or behind schedule. You know, without the strategy, you just don't know that, you know. So I think it's, you know, it's vitally important to have one, but it's as much as anything else, like I say, I think it's just a way of kind of telling whether you're getting there or not, you know? Without the strategy, you just don't know.
But if you have that vision, and so you're standing in this point and I want to go to that point, I'm heading towards that place, which is my vision, there is that sense that how do you know if the strategy you come up with is the best way of getting to that vision?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as we've already said, you'll keep adjusting the strategy, you know? I think the right... Having a strategy is the most important thing. I think, even if it's not the right strategy for now, you'll soon notice because it won't be getting you any closer to your goal. Mm. I think without that, I think lots of people don't have a strategy for that exact reason, actually, is that they, you know, it's too, you know, how long is a piece of string? They don't know which strategy to go for, so they just don't choose anything. But I think the real problem with that is that people think it's all about the money in business. And I actually think it's a lot to do with the time. If it takes you another 5 years to get to your goal than it should have done, you can't ever get that back. You know, if you lose 30 grand, you can make it back again. So it's about having a goal that's set out around time goals, around financial goals, around whatever else. As long as you've got that, the kind of whys of it, you know, will sort of sort themselves out, I think.
Joseph, over to you. Okay. So if you could, from your perspective, yeah. This is interesting because it's broadly the same, but there are slight differences in what's been said so far. So Joseph, are you going to add to the mix with a slightly different perspective?
I think mine might be a little bit different, but there's clearly alignment in all of these. One, you have to think about the term strategy. It is a military term. A strategy is not a map as such, okay, because... it's not a plan, it's not a long-term plan. A strategy is about winning something. And this is a thing that sometimes organizations lose sight of. They can build a long-term plan, 5 years, 2 years. It does have to be flexible. It has to be aware of changes. Where I like the map analogy is the fact that I climbed up Scarfell a few years ago, quite a while ago. I got lost coming back down. Now, a map gives you some guidance. It doesn't tell you the environment and atmosphere that you're climbing up. It doesn't tell you what really to prepare for. So when you look at that term strategy, one of the big and strong values I try to drive forward is linking some language. You mentioned vision, Phil. And so if I can, I want to paint a bit of a picture. You got to have that vision first. And the vision, without apologies, doesn't have to consider resource or ability to get there. It should be exciting. It should make your blood boil and go, wow, let's go for it. And then once you've got that, going back to the military context, which is a bad example because the military seemed to have lost the definition of this as well. We'll talk about that later. But the idea is, what is it that we're going to win? And from your strategy, you then create a mission. And what I like about the concept of mission, if you look at the military as an example, you have Air Force, Army, Marines. In a business, if you have somebody that says their strategy is a document over the next 5 years of what they're going to achieve, they then have a lot of things they need to manage and drive, and it's me driving that strategy or communicating it. That's really quite difficult. It's a huge challenge. If instead you think of it in terms of, I have this vision and within it a number of missions, and that is the strategy as such, you have one mission, which is your marketing department's mission. You have one mission, which is the sales department's mission, or the European mission and the London mission, however you break it down. And within that, you lay out the bigger plan. Here is where we're going. And then each of them drives their own mission that's aligned to that. And you hopefully avoid friendly fire, which you get in companies, because people say it's a communication problem. I've met a lot of great communicators. They communicate fine. The problem is they have no alignment in their mission. They have a great, quote-unquote, strategy, a document, which is a map. But it isn't A, defining what is it we're going to win. And secondly, it doesn't engage the people, those different core teams, in what they have to do to achieve that. What their alignment has to be with the rest of the organization. So I can't just go boldly over here with my objectives and targets. I have to think about team A and B.
So how would you say that fitted in, though, with a smaller company?
Well, with a smaller company...
Those same challenges.
I think with a smaller company, let's say that you are a sole trader, and take it from that to then somebody who's got, you know, 3-4 people to somebody who has 20 people. Even if it's just me in a company... The first thing I really think is, going back to what Phil said, have a vision. you know, where is it that you see it, undiluted, the whole beautifulness of it. And then from there, okay, now what stops me from hitting that vision? Be hard on yourself. Get excited. Know what that's going to feel like when you achieve it. Believe. But then tell yourself all the things that will stop you. Get other people involved to tell you all the things that will stop you. Have people give you the big reality check. And from that, you build out indeed a plan, but you always have to have this mindset, what is it I want to win? Mm. Does Joe want to, you know, my company, do I want to be the most successful strategic training and organizational development company? Do I want to win growing a team up to 50 people and be the best known in Sussex? You know, what is the prize that I want? Because that's also what helps you keep you focused and understands that, yes, I'm doing all my tasks. I'm following the map just as I was told or that I laid out. And that is fine if you're one person or 600. And then as you grow, the thing about a strategy is how you engage others into it.
Okay.
And that's where I put that in that framework. Whether I'm small or large, one person, I still line it out as what I want to win.
Right.
As I grow, I then have to think about how I engage as opposed to just communicate.
Phil, what would you say to what Joseph's been saying? Because I can see that both of you are thinking hard as you're listening. What does that make you think?
I think it's right. I think the way to know whether you've got a strategy as well is probably the first time you say no. You know, thinking about the growth route and so on. When you start up in business, the first thing you do is you take everybody who walks through the door. Absolutely, you know. I started on my own in my business, but I shared a piggery with two friends who had a business as well, which was great, except when the black flies arrived. But that's another story. But,
and the, you know, pigs, I assume.
The pigs had long vacated, luckily, although they'd left a reminder in the smell. But it was a good place to start a business. It was cheap. It was great. But I would take anything that walked through the door. Mm. And, you know, now 12 years on, hopefully I don't do that, but there's still temptation to do that, even if it doesn't fit the strategy. For instance, at Prism Group, we do accountancy. So at its very basic, I'll do your tax return as I promised you last time. But it's not really what we want to do. So unless there's a very good reason for doing it, I would now hopefully say no to doing that kind of work. And I think that's the big thing. You know you've got a strategy once you start saying no to stuff. And it then fits. You know, you build something for a marketplace. I mean, I know Al does some great work on this. But so many companies build products that would fit, you know, a medium enterprise or bigger, and then try and flog it to a small company. And it just doesn't work. Or they try and sell something which is really only suited for a small company to a medium-sized enterprise and get very frustrated because they haven't got their strategy right. They haven't got their sales and marketing strategy right in that particular case.
Al, what are you thinking?
I just fully agree with that, actually. I think one of the hardest things for people to say no to is clients, actually, as well. You know, there's people come to you and they say, look, you know, I'll buy your product. The hardest thing in the world is to say to them, actually, no, you're not the right type of client for me. It's not going to take me in the right direction. And I think it takes people ages to get to that point, you know, but it is really important. And you do learn after a while, you know, with companies that not everyone's a good client, you know. I think it's the same with a lot of marketing activity. People prefer some forms of marketing to other because they find it easy. You know, I know we spoke a few shows about doing cold calling. You know, if you get somebody who likes networking, they're not going to pick the phone up and do cold calling because they're totally different skills. But in realizing what your strategy is, you realize what you are going to have to do. And if it's a weakness that you have that you can't fulfill it, you need to find someone else who can. Unfortunately, business isn't always about doing what, you know, you want all the time. You've got to do what, you know, if you've got your vision, you've got to do what it takes to get there, you know. Mm.
So, you know, I'm thinking as you're talking, ever the practical person, and I know that I used to chair a board of a voluntary organisation, and they were always saying to me that I was operational, because it seemed to me that you could have the vision and you could even have the strategy, but if it wasn't actually possible to do it, it was all a waste of time. And so I was difficult to convince that it was all about vision and strategy, because I was the practical person saying, yeah, but I can remember once putting together a cash flow and someone saying, no, what we need to do then is we need to have 100 people buying that number of things from us. And I just looked and said, well, it's not going to happen, is it? Well, we have to have that. But it won't happen. And so how do you square this strategy with the the possibility of the execution of it, Phil? How does that...
Well, I think the practical people like yourself dive into the operational stuff. Mm. And so the easiest thing is to go and do more of whatever it is you're doing. The strategy, in theory, should pull your head out of that occasion and look forward and see where you're going. So you should marry that hard operational work, which actually is easy for us to do. It might be painful. It might take you all the hours you've got. But to actually then look up and say, why am I doing all this hard work? Okay, so in your cash flow, you need another 100 people. Is that right? Is that the strategy? Do you want to run an organization that has X 100 clients? Or would you rather have two clients that pay you loads of money and you only work for 3 hours a week? Mm. Like Al has.
So we're here, actually. So it is that thought then that, you know, I'm thinking, is it practically possible to do this? But what you're saying is keep your head up, because it could be that if you had your head up and you were looking at what was available, you could set off in a much, much better direction that you would miss if you had your head down doing it every day.
And that's what happens at the MD Hub work groups. Those MDs who spend hours down get their heads up and look around. And anybody listening to me knows that I'm saying but not doing, because I'm terrible for getting my head down in the
Oh, it's good to know that we're all the same then. So, Joseph, how are you strategic or are you operational? And how do you advise your clients?
Well, you have to balance both. Mm. So that's a pretty obvious statement, I think. In terms of working with clients, a couple of things were said that's important. One, you have to listen to people. So when you were saying, well, that's fine, you may want that, we can't do that. When people use that language, you need to listen to them. Why can't we do that? What is stopping us from doing that? And oddly enough, your answer is often in those people least willing to just jump on the boat and go, look at that, we can have that. Great, let's go do it. There's a bit of denial involved with that. It's good to have people that say, that can't happen. And by examining through that, you start understanding, well, if those are the six things that might stop us, what would happen if we turn that around? So now we're very clear that there are six things that will stop us from getting that level of revenue or number of people through. Well, that's good. I'm now in a position of control. So you have to constantly think of a couple of things when you write a strategy. You want to be visionary, absolutely, but you have to think about real potential. Okay, so I'm working with a company right now who wants to double in the next 12 months. The marketplace that he is working in has massive potential. It's just, you know, I don't actually care how much competition he has. The potential is there. So the things stopping him are very much internal in terms of retention, keeping people in certain time scales, 0 to 6 months in particular. And he knows that that will stop us. People pushing themselves and stretching beyond what they believe is what you can achieve in a day. Well, some people have achieved twice that, but they thought it was luck. So you have these little things that mark out potential, along with the people that say it can't be done. And you group those in an interesting way together, I think. And then from that, you go back to good old-fashioned simple stuff, process. You know, forget the exciting stuff. Talk through the nuts and bolts. Would that form change? Would the time that you make those calls change? You know, the detail stuff. You go back to people's belief. You know, so again, the more exciting stuff, and even somebody's environment. To make a strategy happen, do you have the right environment for people to work in? So you need a more competitive environment, because people aren't really spurring each other on. It's only you and your management team doing it. So that has nothing to do with process or their skill. But by them engaging the rest of the team to drive each other, a bit like a sports team, I suppose, then he would get more results.
So it's really fascinating, actually. But Al, I'm just thinking, how would you then go about getting the buy-in? So if we're putting this strategy in place for a company, a smaller company, maybe with a few staff, how would you then, would you say to the business owner that they should... it should be put together with the staff to get that buy-in? Because it seems to me, from what you've just said, Joseph, it's crucial that everyone's on board. It can't just be the leader going, okay, we're going to do this. This is where we're going. That's where we're heading. And this is how we're going to get there. And everyone's thinking, well, that's ridiculous and I don't want to do it.
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, first and foremost, I'd say, actually, I know this sounds like a really obvious thing, but only if you know what your strategy is for your business, you probably won't get there. there's an amazing amount of business owners out there that have a strategy and they've not actually shown it to anyone that works for them. It's surprisingly common. And you're not going to get there unless they know about it and they know why they're doing it. Yeah, I do think the best way to get buy-in is to involve people in the process. You know, if you have got a team of people around you that disagree entirely with your strategy, that don't think it's a good idea and don't think you can do it, you've probably got the wrong team.
or the wrong strategy.
But it's like Joseph was saying, you know, you need to involve people in that process and they will get ownership, because if you do listen to the issues they have, then it becomes, you know, the company strategy, not just your strategy, and everyone's involved in it. It is really important. You know, it doesn't take long, actually, if you're an owner manager, if you start employing people, to get to the point where you don't actually understand how it's executed anymore. You know, I think I've seen it a lot with sales, actually. The salespeople that are out there, the strategy takes it in one direction. They know what people are buying, how much they want to pay for it, and how that's going. And someone says, nope, now we sell this. And, you know, without listening to the salespeople and what the potential revenue is, do you know what I mean? You've got to involve your team, definitely.
Yeah, so the way you say it, actually, it's a no-brainer, really, isn't it? Yeah. So, Phil, I'm just thinking now that we've got 5 minutes left, and so there are five important minutes now. I just really want to get the most out of you before you all go. You've really interesting people to listen to. As we're thinking now of the people listening who might be thinking, look, I don't have a strategy, I now understand it's crucial, what steps would you suggest they take to put that in place now? If they've got a small team, we've decided that it all needs to happen together, how would they manage that process of getting it on paper?
I think, first of all, do some hard thinking yourself. So know what you want from the business. We occasionally run strategy workshops, and we had a client came in, two directors. One wanted to spend 3 days a week at work and 2 days a week surfing, and the other wanted a £100 million business. Now, it's possible, but highly unlikely that's going to happen, where they're effectively pursuing different dreams. So you couldn't build a strategy that would really do that for both of them. So I think hard about what you want and what other people in the business want. Then include your staff, exactly as Al said, so they understand. Otherwise, they'll just carry on doing whatever they love doing, which might not be your strategy. Also involve your customers, because, you know, your customers might not want to buy what you want to sell them. And there's nothing worse than building a fantastic product and finding no one wants to buy it. So I think that's the way you do it. And then run a day, go off site, take everyone away and just talk to them about what you're doing, get their feedback. Also change it, you know, because quite often entrepreneurial MDs will say, this is my vision, you know, give me your feedback, and then they'll ignore it. At the end of the day, they'll go back and still stick down their vision. So listen to what they say, change what you're doing, change your strategy, make sure everyone's on board, and then you can run with it. And then get your head out of the business occasionally, make sure you're still doing it right. I told this story yesterday, but I remember when I first started to learn to drive, after about an hour, my driving instructor said, you're looking at the end of the bonnet. You should be looking down the road. And apparently that's what happens, but I was only driving a Mini. I wasn't looking very far.
I think I might be doing that in the business.
But he said, you know, if you look down the road, the car will get there, yeah. You know, and sure enough, as soon as you look up and you're looking down the road, yeah, the car does get there. You don't go all over the fields just because you're looking a half a mile down the road.
I used to say to people, think like a meerkat. Yes. You know how they're always up and looking and seeing what's going on? And I love that analogy of them all being perky and interested and seeing where things are.
Yes. You have to dip down occasionally as well.
yes, to see if there's a mongoose or no, whatever, a snake around your ankles. But Joseph, what about you? What would be something that you would like to leave with listeners about this, the importance of strategy?
Yeah. You first have to have potential in the market, but that's obvious. Moving that aside, be brave enough to be visionary and make a list of no fear. This is what I want. This is where I want to go. And don't worry about how you get there. Then you take that and you think, okay, what will stop me from getting there? And this is where you start engaging people. Whatever level, first at least your junior management, if you have that type of structure, if there's only three other people, then engage them straight away. And then from that term mission, start, you know, it's much nicer going to work because I have a mission than old school, here's the strategy, there's the targets, Joe, here's your objectives. So I'm coming to work to do targets. It drives you, it motivates you, but not like a mission. And no matter how little time you've been in a company or how low the grade is supposedly your work, if you feel you're going to work with a mission, and you can see how that aligns to this big strategy and what you're going to win, that's more powerful than any kind of bonus or incentive scheme you can possibly imagine. So that's what I would leave. Mm. Be brave. Don't be scared. Articulate it. Engage.
Al, last word with you from this part of the show. Just what, you know, what would you leave with people? Because you've all agreed it's crucial. How would, what would you advise people?
I would just say, if I think a lot of business owners do know that they should have a decent strategy and some goals, and they struggle to either get it together or get one, I would say the best thing to do is go and get help. Go and talk to someone about it. There's loads of government-run schemes. You can go to the ND Hub, you can get a consultant, whatever it is, but actually get someone to, you know, to help you with it. You know, even if it's just sitting down with your other half, or, you know, or like your accountant's pretty good for this kind of thing sometimes, you know. Just sound the idea out against someone and don't try and work it all out on your own, particularly if you don't think you're very good at it.
Excellent. So, in fact, actually, all three of you could be helping those people listening, can you? So, so I just think it's fascinating stuff, and I've really learned a lot as well. So thank you very much, the three of you, for coming along today. This show was originally recorded for Business as Usual on Radio Reverb. I'm Julie Stanford. Thank you for listening to Essential Business Radio.